Welcome back, crazy people, party people. What is up? If you have not already, go ahead and subscribe on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify so that you can get notified every single time we come to you on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific with a brand new episode. You won't want to miss them. Today's episode, we're talking all about the three P's. I'll get to the three P's later on in the episode, but we're talking about the power of positivity. That might sound like a bore or like a drab if you're in your bitching era, but I promise you, you won't want to miss this. There are going to be so many tangible tips, research, stats, and first world experiences from yours truly that you're going to want to know and that you're going to want to implement. Let's dig in. Welcome to Kylie Says It's About to Get Real. I chose the name of this podcast after most of my friends would say, "Shit Kylie says," after I'd share a deep thought or perspective on something that always ended in more conversations. I started this podcast out of a period of spiritual curiosity that caused me to do deep dives into manifestation, meditation, and mindset and perception work that had me exploring things like angel numbers, life path numbers, human design, mediumship, Akashic records researching, and more. All while overcoming a traumatic eating disorder and trying to thrive as a postpartum mom of two while building my corporate career. This show is a mix of guest interviews and my take on life, love, friendship, and all of the topics that I find interesting. Here, we talk to experts, authors, entrepreneurs, and more. If you're looking for a show to get you out of your rut, you found it. Welcome to Kylie Says. I'm your host, Kylie, and I promise to entertain you, give it to you straight, be real with you, and have some fun along the way. When I was in high school, I had a girlfriend who was on my cheer squad who was always so positive, like no one that I'd ever met. Just every single aura in her body radiated positivity. She was always happy. She was always willing to help other people. She was always down to do something if it bettered the team. And I used to think that people like that were insane. What I mean by that is I would be partly in awe of those people because who is always that happy was like my initial mindset. Like, how can you always be that happy? How can you always be that positive? That has to be fake. I genuinely did not have that level of happiness inside of my body. It was almost impossible / inauthentic for me to even assume that I could show up with a quarter of the positivity that this gal did. Mind you, I loved being around her. Every time I was around her, I felt like my self was just better. It's almost like she lifted my aura. She changed the chemical makeup of my personality when I was around her because every single thing about her was happiness and was light. There was not a mean bone in this girl's body. She wanted the best for people. She was so cheerful and always saw the best in every situation and outcome. That sort of power does not come from a weak-minded or weak-willed person. It is so much easier to default to negativity than it is to default to positivity. And it took me a long time to see that. I think that the reason I am able to choose positivity in so many different situations in my life today is because I've been through hell. I've seen the negative consequences that my body and my soul and my mind can take on when I'm not living in a mindset that is more centered on the positive. I want to leave people better than when I found them. I want people to enjoy being around me. I want to make people smile. I want to see the best in people. I want to see and assume that people's intentions are good. And then when I'm proven wrong, then I need to take that knowledge and do with it what is best for me. If that means continuing to be kind to someone who I know does not have kind intentions for me because it's better for me, then I will do that. Believe me, I can be a real ruthless bitch if I wanted to, but I don't want to. And I feel like I spent a lot of time in college almost living that more masculine side of myself out of a sense of protection. I embodied this masculine energy of you can't fuck with me because I wouldn't allow you to get that far. And if you did, then I was pissed. Pissed at you, pissed at me, pissed at the situation. and consistently in this loop of feeling like I was always let down by other people because I was giving them the power of making me happy instead of having the confidence of self to understand that no one else can ever make me happy if I am not in a neutral state of happiness at myself and by myself at all times. Again, I feel like I kind of had to go through hell to come to that conclusion, but I also did years and years and years of practicing to become a better version of myself because I did not like the way that I was living. I did not like the things that were going on in my mind. I did not like the way that it had me reacting to situations, living from a place of sheer emotion and always feeling like everything was personal instead of situational, and not being able to see any of the light outside of situations that affected me deeply in a negative way. If there was something that happened in my life, let's say with a friend, where I felt like I was betrayed in some way, shape, or form, it would burn me to my core, where I would feel like there is physically and emotionally no way for me to recover from this. How can I possibly trust someone? I assumed the best in this person and they let me down. The sense and emotion of being let down by other people that you trust and care for is probably one of the most disappointing in my book. I am a loyal person. If I love you, I will give you as much as I am able to, and I will also tell you when I am unable to give you what I think you need. Let's split the 60-40 or figure out what the situation and the scenario is based on where we're at in our friendship, where we're at in our lives. So I always had the most difficult time when I felt like someone who had thus far proven to me that they were a close friend of mine, that they cared about me, that they wanted the best for me, that we were in this together sort of thing. If one of those people let me down, I would have a very difficult time dropping it. And the reason why I wanted to talk about the power of positivity was because today at work, I was having lunch with one of my girlfriends and we were talking about a relationship. And we were talking about the fact that so many people today default to negativity. Something is wrong, whether they don't like the city that they're living in, yet they chose to live in that city due to the opportunity that it has for them and the fact that they've made a boatload of cash living there the past few years. But something about the city still isn't right to them. And they're unable to commit because they don't know what they want or who they are. And the narrative in their head is there's something missing that they haven't put their finger on yet. When in reality, the thing that's missing is their knowledge of self and the fact that they are looking at something, a situation, their life, their living situation, for instance, from a glass half empty point of view. What I mean by that, if you choose to move internationally, for instance, you know you're going into a new city. You know that you'll be around people that you don't know. You know that you'll be in a different environment, especially if you're moving to San Francisco from somewhere else that does not traditionally have just the energy that San Francisco does and that work hard, play hard culture. And also the fact that you can go from 1 mile away and be in a completely different world, neighborhood, people, eccentricity, etc., than you were a mile ago. Then you cannot also complain about that same place saying that I didn't know it was going to be this way, or if you didn't, fine, but then not be part of the solution. If you found that this is a place that has incredible opportunity, but there are things that you're maybe not loving about your living situation, then make a change. But in order for that negativity to start impacting the way that you view relationships, the way that you view yourself, the way that you view the world around you, then that becomes living from a place of lack versus this place of opportunity. I, for one, am a curious person. If there's something new that intrigues me, I will dig into it until I feel like I've learned enough, which is sort of the path that I felt like I have gotten on with human design to a degree. I was obsessed with human design. I started a website. I started an LLC. I wanted to do human design readings for all of these people because it had truly impacted the way that I saw myself, and I thought it was revolutionary. I had never seen or read anything like it. I dug deep. I had human design readings by multiple people. I did all these spirituality readings to try to better understand. I read books. I did courses. I paid a lot of money to get to the place that I'm at with human design. But over the past few months, it's just been less important to me. That doesn't mean that there's not still something there for me, because there 100% is. And as soon as I start talking about it, I get so excited. But my will to do and create around this idea of what I was going to do with human design has kind of dissipated because I did that. I'm not doing much with it right now, but that's okay because that's a personal choice. And I'm not seeing that as a failure that I've made. All of that work and all of that research that I did was absolutely for a reason. And I think during that time was also when I was reading a shit ton of spirituality books. I was reading anything that I could get my hands on. In the past 2 years, I read over 60 books. And that's because my curiosity is just the highest that it's ever been. I think especially when I became a mom, I also just became so much more curious. I think in general, when you become a mom, you become curious about everything, primarily ailments and things that can go wrong just from the nature of being a parent, but also just about life in general. If your child likes something, for instance, you're like, okay, like, let's look into this. Maybe this is something that could be great for them. That's sort of similar to where I was at the past three to four years, I would say, when it came to spirituality, when it came to this idea of digging into your purpose, digging into your dharma. I read all these really interesting books on Ayurvedic practices and thinking about our dharma, which is our purpose. And I really struggled with that idea of what is my purpose? What am I here to do? What is the point of all of this life if we end up just leaving it so shortly after we joined it in the grand scheme of how long the earth has been around? Like, what is the point? We go to work, we make money, we leave. Like, it just did not make sense to me. And I felt like there was so much more that I need to know. I'm one of those people on an airplane. I will look down in the cars and think to myself, I wonder who's in that car. I wonder who's driving that this. Oh, look, another plane. I wonder if that person's looking out thinking the same thing as me. And I used to get terrible anxiety on flights. I still do, to the sense that I don't like that I feel like I am completely out of control if something were to go wrong, and that the worst thing that can happen is obviously like plummeting to your death. That obviously is quite scary. But it's also a bit of a peaceful experience because you're so disconnected from everything and you're literally looking at the world through a different vantage point than you've ever been able to look at it before. I love when you're able to fly over the mountains or fly over areas that look like they are perfectly drawn out with a map. They're colored in differently based on like the crop or whatever is down below you. You're over a freeway and you just get to see all these cars and just the world looks different. If there's a sunrise or a sunset when you're on an airplane, it looks so majestic. And it sort of became another place of peace for me, because when you're in the air, I for one never get internet when I'm flying. So I am forced to do something like read a book, color, etc. And that's when I also found, when I was traveling over the past few years, that I dedicated a lot of the time during those travels and during my commute to reading books that would show me and enlighten me in regards to how do I show up as a happier, more fulfilled person. When I became a mom, one of the most important things for me was to become more well-rounded and truly be someone that could handle all of the different scenarios that come up with motherhood. Because let me tell you, there are a lot, and you are not prepared for all of them, no matter what you think. And if you are not mentally sound going into that journey, it can be incredibly overwhelming. And also, everything that you plan sort of goes awry to a degree. And so that can be really frustrating if you feel like everything is going awry. So you need to be able to kind of manage and work through those situations as they come up. So all of this today, especially, just got me thinking about this power of positivity and approaching the world with a more positive mindset. I want people to think about me as positive. And it's almost like I always think about things from like a branding perspective, but also like from the sense of like, what are the themes? Like, what would you categorize as being important about XYZ? So let me give you a better example, because I'm not explaining this well. When I think about my wedding, I wanted three core themes to pull through: family, fun, and love. I know that that sounds very basic, and it is, but I wanted people to leave there feeling like they could tell what a great family we had, and they could see the support and the love there. I wanted people to feel like family at the event, even if they had never met anyone in my family before, because I knew that my family and my husband's family would treat anyone that they didn't know at our wedding like that. I wanted people to leave feeling like, damn, that is a family I want to party with. I wanted people to have fun. We didn't do some of the more traditional things because I wanted to just dance the whole night. Looking back, I wish that we would have done some of those things, to be honest. Like, we didn't do the garter or any of those things because I just wanted to dance and rap literally the whole night. I did not choose certain songs that are like seen at every wedding because I wanted to, literally the only thing I can say is I wanted to rap the whole time. And I wanted to dance. And that's what we did. And I wanted people to feel the love. We had been together for over a decade at the point that we got married. So I wanted people to know, like, there is a lot of history here. Those two genuinely love and get each other. Like, this is a good marriage. I say all of that to say that when I'm thinking about life and situations, I often will assign categories. Like, think about it as like a tagging. I'm tagging just like you would tag or create a hashtag online. I'm creating real world hashtags in my mind about situations and scenarios to give them a purpose. And you almost have to do that when you're thinking about yourself, if you want to. If you want to think about what is your purpose, or if you know, then even better. But if you don't, almost think about what would be the three tags that someone would assign to you today if they were asked, what do you embody? If you don't know the answer, think about it. Maybe journal on it. Create a prompt. What would those three things be? For me, I really want positivity, happy, well-rounded, likable. Yes, I want to be likable, but that doesn't mean I'm going to bend over backwards to be positive or kind to people that are clearly rude. Believe me, if people are fucking assholes, like, I will be kind to you, but also I will know, oh, this person is a fucking asshole, and I'm not going to give you time or energy, because that is also a choice. So when I think about what are some of these three tags that I would feel really happy, I want them to be positive. I don't want them to be judgmental, moody, bitchy, snarky. Like, I would be upset if I were to know that people just in my day to day viewed me in that regard. I don't think that they do, because that's not how I show up in the world or in the workplace. But that would make me sad if that's how someone describes me, because that feels so far removed from what I'm trying to bring today. In the beginning of this episode, I talked a bit about feeling like I was embodying more of like this bitchy masculine persona when I was in college and high school, frankly. That was definitely coming from a place of hurt and trying to protect myself, and not also knowing that you could embody both, being that masculine side. I loved rap. I wanted to be the best. I wanted to beat the boys, like very masculine energy. I wanted to win at everything. I didn't want to do anything if I knew I wasn't going to be the best or nearly the best at it. I just wanted to fucking kick ass. And if I didn't, then that was not the thing for me, because I was unwilling to bend and try unless it came naturally for me. That still is a bit of my mindset to this day, but I try a lot harder now, in the sense of if something doesn't come easily to me, I will work at it, because if it's important to me, then it's important for me to try, and also to show my children that I will try and do something that might be hard, that might be a little bit difficult, if I care about it and if it's meaningful. Now, I really think about the fact that I can embody both masculinity and femininity. There's this new filter on TikTok that I did yesterday that I saw Huda Beauty doing, and it's like AI will determine if you're man or woman. I got 100% man, and honestly, I was pretty offended because it scans your facial features. So apparently my facial features are 100% man. And that also made me think a little bit about this whole masculinity thing. Like, okay, maybe I'm still just giving this like really fucking masculine energy and I need to maybe chill, because 100% man from an AI filter sort of has me feeling some type of way. But I wanted to bring that up because A, it's just freaking funny, but B, being able to balance the masculine and the feminine doesn't mean that one minute you're like a bitch and you're like, I'm going to get everything I want. I'm going to be the best. And the next you're like, oh, hey, do you want to go get your nails done? No, it's a balance. It's a balance. And it's also finding that positivity and like finding the power that comes from knowing yourself. And again, I want to talk about the three P's, because the three P's when it comes to positivity, yes, I've made these up myself, but this is something that I genuinely do. Okay, so the three P's: practice, patient, positivity. What the hell does that mean, you ask? Let me tell you. You have to practice being positive. It takes so much less effort to be negative. You're commuting in. There's traffic. You're going to be late for your meeting. Of course there's traffic. There's always traffic. This commute is so shitty. I am tired of wasting so much fucking time in the car or on BART or wherever. I just want to be at work or be at home. I don't need to commute. This is ridiculous. Or, oh, looks like there's traffic again. Thankfully, there's internet. Thankfully, I have a hotspot. Thankfully, I have headphones that are noise canceling so that I can join this call from the car. Thankfully, this is one I just have to join. I don't have to talk. So luckily, I won't be too heavily impacted by the fact that there's traffic. Gee, I hope if there's traffic, there wasn't an accident. And if there was, that everyone is okay. Lord, please protect me on my commute into the office and just let me get there safely. Those are two completely different trains of thought. Normally, my head would have been on the first one. Years ago, any situation like that would have immediately become the biggest inconvenience in my life. And my day would have plummeted from there. And let me tell you, that happened more often than not. Because one negative thought snowballs. Because it's easy to default there. It takes a lot of practice to consistently show up with the best of intentions and to consistently assume or view a situation from a positive perspective. And the power of positivity is supported by research across so many different fields, and it truly does demonstrate the significant impact on mental and physical well-being. I asked Gemini to bring up a few stats for me about mental health, well-being, etc., and then give me those sources. So I wanted to read a few of them to you because I think that they're really important. So key concepts and theories. There's a broaden and build theory. And this theory posits that positive emotions will broaden our attention and cognitive processes, leading to the building of lasting personal resources. That's from PMC. I don't know what that means. Positive psychology. This field of psychology focuses on studying human flourishing and well-being, emphasizing strengths and positive emotions rather than solely focusing on mental illness, frontiers, and psychology. Those two concepts and theories to me tells me this. One, there is literally an entire field of psychology focusing on how you can flourish from being positive and focusing on your strengths and your emotions in sound ways versus the mental illness and the negative thoughts that got you to that place in the first place. I also hate that we slap band-aids and medication on so many things instead of getting to the root cause. Can you imagine if when you were growing up, one of the kids, let's just say a kid that you knew had, I don't know, depression or something, and instead of having their parents just give them medication, they were forced to take them on a wellness retreat. They were forced to take them to weekly meditations. They were forced to have them do ongoing daily journaling. I know that that might sound ridiculous, but so many of the issues I feel that we face in today's society are because there is a lack of ability to cope. And when we are able to, with this broaden and build theory, again, that posits that positive emotions broaden our attention and cognitive processes, leading to the building of lasting personal resources. Lasting personal resources. Do you know what that might mean to me? Lasting personal resources is like a well of goodness within you. I literally just see it visually as like the entire body just consistently being filled up with like this beautiful, rich, crystal clear water like that you would see in Iceland. And that is the well of lasting personal resources that you can actually build and broaden and practice. Again, practice when you are in a situation where your immediate response might be negative or might be less than stellar, less than ideal. The second P, patient. I feel like I've gotten so much more patient since I became a mom. I grew up with a mom who was so impatient about every single situation, especially like in the car. And I now notice it so much. I'm like, oh my God, you're impatient and it is driving me nuts. Like, calm down, relax. And it's because the energy around that is like very high. It's very overwhelming. It's very frenetic. And I have a hard time being around that now. And of course I can express that because that person is my parent and I can tell them like, okay, instead of this, why don't we do this? And then we'll joke about it because it's like ridiculous. Why are we even talking about this? But it's because when you are impatient, it's coming from this place of negative energy. Something is not fast enough. Something is not good enough. Something is not when I want it to be. And that lends towards this negative cycle that we don't want. And also, when you're trying to be super just positive in life, or when you're trying to be patient in life, when you're meditating, when you plant, think about someone who gardens. They know the power of patience. They don't see the results overnight. They have to wait. They put a seed in the ground, water it, and get it sunlight, and it turns into a tree. There is literally not another situation that you can explain to someone that does not include hope, faith, and patience than that. That is why it's one of the three P's. Because you have to be patient in this knowing that you have, that things will go well, the more you practice giving yourselves that option. The more you practice outlining the positive in your mind, the more you'll see it. And that's why the third P is positivity. Practice, patient, and positivity. It is easier to default to negativity than it is to practice positivity. This does not mean that you're always happy. This does not mean that you're always super pleasant, super bubbly, bending over backwards for people that treat you poorly. No, that's not this at all. This just means that you are finding the best in every situation and scenario. And if for any reason you are consistently coming back to this place of lack, this place of negativity, then you need to do something to get yourself out of it. You need to do something to shift your mindset. Read a book, meditate, journal. When it comes to brain function, NIH News in Health did research on neural changes through training. And their research suggests that training and practices like meditation and compassion can actually alter your brain circuits in ways that promote positive responses and increase positive social behaviors. If you've never heard about rewiring neural pathways, think about it like this. Just as when you're driving through an area that's under construction or they're repaving the road to make it run more smoothly instead of being all bumpy due to just the wear and tear, you can think about that as a neural pathway in your brain. That wear and tear in the road where there's all these potholes, that's you when you are practicing negativity, when you are practicing everything is going against me today. When am I going to get out of this? Why is everything happening like this? When you start paving that road, that's a brand new neural pathway that you have created due to the practice of responding positively. And another piece of research from NIH News and Health talked about reward pathway activation, that positive emotions actually trigger this reward pathway in the brain that will lead to lasting feelings of well-being, and that sustained activations of these areas have been linked to positive physical changes. So there's not just mental benefits. You can actually see more positive physical benefits from the power of positivity. That is insane. I mean, truly, that can you believe that the power of your mind could actually influence the power of your body, the power of feeling better? That's why these three P's are so critical. And also, I think when you are thinking about what it means to be positive, I don't want this word positivity to, I feel like I've said it almost too many times in this episode now that it's like diluting what I mean by this, because what I really want to get across from this episode is that the power that you have in showing up as a nice person says so much more about you than someone who tries to show up and steal the power by being negative, being bossy, putting other people down, responding negatively, taking their stress out on others. Like, that's not cool. And honestly, that says so much more about that person than it does about you. But you don't want to be that person. Believe me, you don't want to be the one that other people are talking about because of your inability to cope with situations that therefore causes you to overreact, to react negatively, to put others down, to focus on nitpick on small things that don't really matter instead of being able to connect over the bigger picture and try to like unite as one cohesive front. And I think that's especially important when you're a manager of other people. You own a business, you're an entrepreneur, you're a founder, whatever the case might be. You want to inspire other people, and of course you can set boundaries. Of course you want respect. All of those things. But at the end of the day, you also are a human being. And if you've started something or you're just in a role where you're leading other people and they are looking to you, let's say because their careers are in your hand or because they trust you, don't let them down. I think it takes a lot for people to get into those places of authority in general. And you can earn a title, but you cannot earn respect, trust, loyalty from people if you also aren't a nice or good person. Yes, you can cheat your way through the system, but what's the fun in that? And at the end of the day, we all want to feel like we're here leading a purposeful life. We want to feel like we're not living to work. Or working to, what's the saying? Living to work, working to live. Whatever you're not supposed to do, that's the one that I'm trying to say. I can't think about what it is right now because it's late. But now I lost my train of thought. The only thing that matters at this point is that we got to the three P's. I think if there's one thing that you really should take away from this, is that you can't discount the power of ongoing curiosity and also the power of what positivity can do to you. Think about emotions like joy, gratitude, hope, happiness, satisfaction, like lower rates of depression, anxiety, overall distress. Being able to practice thinking through situations with the best potential outcomes and thinking of the best in people is going to make you so much happier. It's very difficult, especially in corporate settings, to be able to read other people in the way that you might be able to when you're outside of the work environment. And that's been difficult for me in this new role that I'm in. But at the end of the day, no one is trying to, in my opinion, be an asshole. Situations may stress people out. They may cope in different ways. But at the end of the day, everything comes down to coping mechanisms. And the reason why I feel like certain people, maybe myself included, are able to kind of get to this place in time where I feel like I have been through so much shit. I've seen so much shit. I've had to overcome so much shit. I know that there is no point in living in the negativity. There's no point in living in the what ifs. There's no point in living in that place of ickiness because we've been there before and we know that it is not fun. We've been there before and we know that it is harder on us than it is to see things from a different perspective. We know that when we reduce those negative emotions and increase those positive emotions, that we cultivate things like new friendships, that we build trust, that we build loyalty. And most importantly, we build trust within ourselves. It's like when you start seeing angel numbers. The first time, you're baffled. Okay, that's crazy. I said I really wanted to see 111 and I just saw it twice, both times. 111 p.m. and I woke up at 111 in the morning. That just is crazy. And then you start trusting. I'm for sure seeing this on time, like every single day. And the same, this is crazy. How am I? I've been on calls every day at this time, and I haven't looked at the clock in hours, but I happen to look at the clock at that time every day. Now I trust that I will start doing that. I trust that I will start seeing it. And you know what's funny? I have seen more angel numbers on license plates in the past few months than I have ever in my entire life. Am I aware of it? Yes. Am I being directed towards it? Yes. There's no other reason why I would be seeing those things consistently unless I was meant to. There's no other reason. And that is the belief that comes with believing in the more you practice, the more you will see. Whatever it is, the more you practice negativity, the more you'll see. I've been seeing 111 on license plates at the very end of the license plate so many times recently. And 111 and 222 are some of my favorite angel numbers. And by favorite, I just mean those are the ones that I see the most often. And 111 is absolutely the one that I see the most often. Angel number 111 urges you to take action and be clear about your goals. It can mean personal growth, spiritual fulfillment, positive transformation in love, relationships, career, and finances. You can balance like this positive thinking with practical action to manifest your desires and embrace new opportunities. That's from howstuffworks.com. What is 111 trying to tell me? Seeing 111 is also a strong indicator that your thoughts or intentions are aligning with the universe, setting the stage for manifestation. It's a reminder to focus on positive thoughts as what you think about is likely to come into reality. So that one I see all the time. I also see 222 pretty consistently. That's one that I see primarily on the time. Like when I look down at my phone, the bill will end in 222 or 333 or something along those lines. But angel number 222 is associated with balance, collaboration, love, and harmony. So it means like trusting that everything is working out exactly the way that it's supposed to go and that there are divine blessings involved. Let go and have faith. Those are the messages that you need to leave this podcast with. Believe and trust in the process, but you also have to be an active participant. Yes, great things will come to you if you manifest. I believe that to be true. I know that to be true. Yes, good things will come to you when you are positive. But you have to be an active participant in living that lifestyle. You can't just assume, well, everything's going to work out for me, right? And then consistently make bad choices and put yourself in situations or mindsets that will not serve you to the highest power, to the highest of your ability. Being an active participant in the power of positivity is going to change your life. Trust me. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Kylie Says. If you are not already a subscriber or following this podcast on either Apple or Spotify, go ahead and do that right now. That means that you'll get notified about every single new episode that we have Tuesdays at 9 a.m. PT. I don't do as many of the weekly episodes. I really try to, but based on just my general life outside of this podcast, it can occasionally be hard for me. And sometimes I'm just living my life or on vacation or just super busy and I'm not able to get to it. But when I do, I promise that you will have content that will truly be meaningful to you and give you actionable tips, advice, and real-world expertise that you can utilize in your day-to-day life. Thanks so much for being here. And while you're at it, feel free to leave a 5-star review, a 4-star review, or really any feedback at all of what you'd like to hear more, how you think the podcast is doing, or feel free to just reach out to me at any time on Instagram @KylieMojaDD. Thanks, and see you next week. Maybe.